Thank you all for your giving. You've heard me say this, those of you that have been here, as you're turning to John's Gospel chapter 3, that when we stand before the Lord and receive the rewards, He's not going to reward us for our good looks. He's not going to say, "Well done, thou good-looking servant," or "Well done, thou talented servant," but "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." He puts a high premium on faithfulness. And so let me thank you very much for your faithfulness in the area of giving. John chapter 3 is where I want to begin. And we will read verses 1 through 8. John chapter 3, I'm reading from the King James Version, verse 1. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have heard, seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you of earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Father, we thank you for the Word of God. It's alive, it's powerful, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It even divides between soul and spirit. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to be attentive to the Word of God today. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Lord, you know the need of every person in the seat, in the audience today. We pray that you would meet those needs, because you have provided for us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Save the lost, heal the sick, baptize believers in the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that you would mend broken relationships. We pray that you would provide finances and things for those that are needy. Everything that you are concerned about, because we're concerned about it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The title of my message this morning is, You Must Be Born Again. There's a story about a man that went and bought a framed portrait of Jesus Christ, a painted picture, and brought it to his house looking for a prominent place in the house to hang the picture. He looked in the entryway. He looked in the living room. He looked in the dining room. All throughout the house, no place seemed to be the best place. So he hired an interior decorator to come show him. and the interior decorator went through the house and found no place that would be suitable for that framed picture of Jesus. So the interior decorator recommended to the homeowner, "I think you just need to build a new house around the picture." I like the way you're looking at me this morning. How many times did Jesus say, "You don't add a new piece of cloth to an old worn out garment, because if you do, that new piece of cloth will tear away from that old garment"? Didn't Jesus say, "Men don't put wine in old wineskins. Those rigid bottles will burst as the wine expands. And so, let me say that you and I, and I believe this is the message that he's trying to get across, you and I don't just add Jesus to our current lifestyle, but we have to be changed. We have to be a new person to receive the newness of this new wine of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. How many of you know what I'm talking about because it's happened to you? Amen. I can remember. I was so glad to see the children sitting on the front this morning. It reminded me of where I came from. When I was about 7 years of age, we lived in Albuquerque, New Mexico at the time. I'd never been in a church. My parents were not Christians. My dad was an alcoholic. So we were even estranged from my dad. I was to not see my dad for 30 years. But I was there with my siblings and my mom in a trailer house in Albuquerque with visiting my grandmother when a knock came at the door. And it was a stranger that for some reason she knew that there were children in the house. She invited the children in the house to attend a kids' crusade. Well, my grandmother was not a Christian, and so she said what most unsaved people do when they get an invitation: "Thank you, but not today." When she dismissed that lady, I didn't know what I was missing, but I went into her bedroom and sat on the floor and burst into tears and bawled and squalled and cried. I'd never heard of a kids' crusade, but for some reason, I didn't want to miss it. Well, the next day, a miracle happened. That lady came back again, and she knocked on the door again and invited us again. Those of you that go door to door, sometimes if you get rejected the first time, you're not likely to go back the second time. But she did. Now, I was the only kid that wanted to go. And my grandma was not willing to go through what she did yesterday, so she said, "Yes, they can go." I was the only one that wanted to go. I remember my mom putting a nickel in my hand because somehow she knew there would be an offering. And I went and got in the car with this strange lady, just her and me, and she drove me to a kids' crusade. It was a church that I didn't realize until years later was Old First Assembly of God Church down on 2nd Street in Albuquerque. And I don't remember anything about the Kids Crusade service except they told the story of a little homeless kid that lived in a barrel. Well, I didn't get saved on that occasion, but that started my journey towards salvation. Oh, my. My mama remarried, married a guy who was a heavy equipment operator on Brown's Road Construction Company. So we followed Brown's Construction Company all over the state of New Mexico. I went to 6 different schools in the 3rd grade. We lived in Albuquerque 3 times. We lived in Lordsburg. We lived in Silver City. We lived in Farmington. We ended up in Raton, New Mexico, where we stayed long enough that I graduated from high school. But it was there in Raton that at 11 years of age, my 5th grade buddy Jeff Carver invited me, of all things, to a Baptist kids' crusade. And I don't know if I would have gone if I would have known that there was a competition, and the only reason he invited me is because the guy that brought the most guests was going to get a 3-foot-long candy bar. But he invited me and I went.
And I sat on the back row at Calvary Baptist Church in Raton, New Mexico, and the preacher preached, and he gave an invitation to come forward and pray those that wanted to receive Jesus. And I did that, but my miracle happened back there on the pew before I ever got to the front. Back there, and I didn't say this, but I was struggling at that time from a guilt-ridden conscience. My family were not Christians. And I remember that I'd been to church enough to know by now that if I died in my sleep, I would go straight to hell. And it bothered me so that I couldn't sleep. And I'd make myself a promise. First thing in the morning, I'm going to tell my mama all those rotten things I've done. And it worked. I could go to sleep. But the next day, I forgot about that promise until I laid again on the bed. And then it was that guilty, nagging, guilt-ridden conscience that I could not dispose of. But back there on the back pew at Calvary Baptist Church, I confessed my sins to Jesus, and I literally felt a load of guilt lift off of me. I literally felt it. I didn't say that I went through a ceremony, and so I ceremoniously just acknowledged that it must have happened. No, I literally felt the load of guilt lift off of me. It was like I had never sinned before. I couldn't tell you then what happened theologically, but I know now. Romans said his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God, the children of God. It was a supernatural spiritual experience. It was what we call born again. It's what the Bible theological term is, regeneration. Somebody that is brand new. God doesn't make bad folks good. He makes dead folks alive. Paul said, "You hath he quickened." And that's a King James word for make alive. "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." My, how many of you have experienced it? And you could tell me, I could take you to the place, the location. I don't know exactly the date or the time, but I can take you there, and I know that it happened. Why? I was born again. I was born again. If you've been born again, the preacher doesn't have to tell you you got saved. You tell the preacher you got saved because you know that it happened. It was a crisis experience, if you will. Now, granted, there's some in this room that probably don't remember the first time you were in church. There's some in this room that perhaps were dedicated as an infant right here or another church. And you can't really remember any time that you didn't know about Jesus. But some of us, there's a crisis time that we could point to. I really need to give you my outline because I'm not even going to get to it today. But let me talk about it. He says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell whence it cometh." Or that's King James terminology. He says the wind blows where it wants to, and you can't tell where it's coming from or where it's going. He said, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now, the Greek word is pneuma, and it means three things. It means wind, breath, and spirit. Wind, breath, and spirit. So if you are born again, the Spirit of God has come into your spirit. My, and your spirit is what has gotten born again. But he says, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You don't see the wind because it's invisible, but you can see the effects of the wind. It blows the leaves off of the tree. It messes up your hair on your way to church. So you and I see the effects of the wind. And so I believe we can see the effects of the new birth in a new person. Here's my outline. There's so many more, but I've jotted down four effects of the new birth. Number one, you are a new creature. Number two, I'm giving it all to you quickly because my time is gone. Number two, we love one another. Number three, we no longer live the sinful lifestyle. And number four, we overcome the world. So first of all, it's because we are a new creature. Charles Finney was an attorney, in Adams, New York, in the 1820s. He was not a Christian. He attended, I think it was the Presbyterian Church, and was even serving in some capacity, but was not a Christian. The pastor even said to his congregation, "There's no sense in even praying for Finney. There's no hope for Finney." Don't you like that testimony? Finney purchased a Bible, not because he wanted to be a Christian, but for his law practice, because the laws of the land were founded on scriptural principles. In reading his Bible and studying it, he realized his need for the new birth. And so he came to a time that he said, "Today I'm going to give my life to Christ." He got up, he left his law office, and he left town, going to a stand of trees, looking constantly over his shoulder, afraid that maybe someone was catching him in the act of praying, when in reality, no one. That would be the furthest thing from anybody's mind that Finney would be doing. When he found the stand of trees, he penetrated the woods, and he came to a place where a tree had fallen across another, and made his altar there. There he did everything that he knew to do to give his life to Jesus, to give his heart to the Lord. And you know, that's biblical. The Bible says that by faith he lives in our heart, Jesus. So the children's chorus, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, is a biblically, a theologically sound chorus. He comes in by faith and lives and dwells in our heart. He said, but he could not experience the emotion that he thought should attend his conversion. And every time that a leaf fell, or every time a twig snapped, he would look up, see if somebody was coming in there, finding him in the act of prayer. All of a sudden it dawned on Finney that was his problem. It was pride. He was ashamed of anybody catching him in the act of prayer in the woods. When Finney realized that was his problem, he repented of his pride. And when he confessed his pride and he repented of his pride, the Bible says, no, the Bible doesn't say, Finney said. When you're an evangelist, you just automatically say, the Bible said. He said all the emotion that he thought should attend conversion came. Tears flowed. Joy replaced sin, guiltiness. Hallelujah. Isn't it Hebrews says, if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? My, this is the difference between the blood of Christ and the blood of the animal sacrifices from Adam to the cross, is they were not able to purge the conscience. Men still felt guilty of their sin. Even though they believed, they still felt guilty. But I'm telling you, there's a place you can come until the blood of Jesus purges your conscience, and you won't feel guilty anymore. You'll feel light as a bird, light as a feather. Finney got up. He thought that he had only been there a few moments, but he looked at his watch and he'd been there a couple hours. On his way home, back to the community, back to his law office, he did a peculiar thing. He tried to recall his guilt feelings. Have you ever tried to do that? The devil will do it for you. You don't have to do it. Finney could not feel guilty. He said, "I have grieved the Holy Spirit, and he won't even convict me of my sin anymore." But by the time he got to his law office, he realized what had happened. No, the blood of Christ had washed away his sin. What did the scripture say? He put it as far as the east is from the west. Aren't you glad he didn't say as far as the north is from the south? Because when you get to the North Pole, you start going south. When you get to the South Pole, you start going north. But Columbus discovered if you start going west, you just keep going west. I said you just keep going west. He put your transgressions as far from you as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against you again. My. And Finney realized what had happened in his prayer meeting in the woods is that he had been justified, just as if I'd never sinned. My. Thank you, Jesus. I'm telling you, my dear friend, maybe there's somebody here this morning that has never experienced the born-again regenerative experience. Maybe you grew up in Sunday school. Maybe you attended church since you can remember, but you've never had the crisis experience of death, burial, resurrection, that you have been born again. And that's why I'm here this morning, is to give you that opportunity. I wonder if the musicians could come back to the instruments today. And I wonder if we could just bow our heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the Word of God. As I said already, quoting the Word of God, it's alive. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Lord, I pray that the bread of life, the bread of the Word of God, I pray, Lord, that the wonderful spiritual nourishment of the Word of God would travel from the transmitter to the receiver today. I pray that the seed of the Word of God would not fall on stony ground or by the wayside. Oh Lord, I pray that the seed of the Word of God will fall on good ground and bear fruit, some 30-fold and some 60-fold and some 100-fold, right now in the name of Jesus.